Dear friends in Christ, we celebrate a beautiful feast today, celebrating our Lord as the sovereign ruler of the whole of creation. Ever since the world was created, our Lord, as a member of the Blessed Trinity, of course, was already king, but in his capacity as God, once he became man, died and rose for us and brought about our salvation, he's the king by a new title. He's king also in his human nature. Right from the beginning of the church's history, we've already had feasts that honor Christ as our king. We think of the Feast of the Epiphany, one of the most ancient in the calendar, in which the three wise men representing the kings of the earth come to adore Christ as the newborn king. We think of the Feast of the Ascension, another very ancient feast in which we celebrate our Lord having risen from the dead, ascending to sit and reign as king at the right hand of the Father. So the question can come up, why did we need another feast, especially dedicated to Christ the King? Because this is quite a new feast in comparison to many of the old feasts in the liturgy that have been there for many, many centuries, some much more than 1,000 years, the Feast of Christ the King was introduced less than 100 years ago by Pope Pius XI in 1925. He published an encyclical letter called Quas Primas about the kingship of Christ and decreeing that from then on, once a year, there'd be a special Sunday dedicated to Christ the King. And the reason the Pope saw the need for another Feast of Christ the King was because he wanted to emphasize by this new feast that Jesus is the King of every aspect of life already here on earth. It's not just something that we think about, well, he's King reigning in heaven and that's really going to apply only in the afterlife or in the world to come. No, already in this life, Jesus has sovereignty over the whole of creation. And the Pope saw this was something that was progressively being forgotten and denied, as even in the traditionally Christian countries of Europe and the Americas, our Lord was being marginalized, excluded from public life. Particularly after the French Revolution, about 130 or so years before the Pope published his encyclical, the traditionally Christian countries had been becoming more and more secular, more and more ignoring God and his law. And Pope Pius XI realized that this is something tragic and terrible, the turning away from God of the nations that used to recognize him. And so he said in his encyclical, by this new feast day of Christ the King, Catholics everywhere will be reminded that our Lord and Savior is the Lord of all aspects of life. He can't be just reduced to a little private corner of our lives, something that applies for 1 hour every week within the four walls of the church, just 1 hour out of 168, right, that there are every week. No, Jesus is the King of every aspect of life. The laws of the gospel, the principles of God's given us in the Ten Commandments, for example, they should be observed in all activities of life, economic, political, social, educational. That's the purpose of this new feast. And I think if that was relevant 90 years ago when the Pope introduced the new feast, it's even more relevant today, because even ever more we've seen God and God's laws being excluded from the public life of the formerly Christian nations. Back in 1925, the laws didn't go so far as to eliminate the very right to life of the innocent. We think of the millions that have been killed through abortion and now euthanasia becoming just the elections the other day, there's a couple of states that have been added to the list that now recognize physician-assisted suicide. The right to life. Fifth commandment, thou shalt not kill. Back then in 1925, it was absolutely unheard of. I mean, the idea of a marriage between persons of the same sex was so outlandish that no one had ever even suggested it. And yet now this is the law of the land by a decree of our Supreme Court last year. So now more than ever, dear brothers and sisters, we need to remember that our Lord and Saviour is the King of all aspects of our life. The recent elections have brought this whole issue very much to our consciousness, and we've seen great divisions in our country. Divisions and anger and bitterness. It's been the most divisive election campaign, according to all the commentators and observers, in maybe 100 years in this country. And beneath that division, there is a tremendous difference in people's understanding of what this nation ought to be. And for us Christians, the question should be, how can we help our country with its deep Christian roots come back to those roots? How can we see that Christian values are restored to the public life of our country? A lot of people are sort of intimidated by that because they say, oh, well, you can't have that because in this country we have separation of church and state, and so religion cannot influence anything in the public sphere. That's absolutely not the intention of the founding fathers of this nation. The First Amendment that forbids Congress from passing a law that has to do with the establishment of religion, the purpose of that was simply to make sure that in a country with many different religious denominations, no one particular denomination would be able to force itself and make itself the official religion to the extent of marginalizing or even discriminating against those of other religions in the public sphere. But the idea that things like the Ten Commandments, the laws of God that all Christians and Jews for that matter too, the Ten Commandments are in the Old Testament, the laws of God, the fundamental laws of God, there was never any idea in the minds of our founding fathers that those laws should be excluded from the public forum, from the public life of our country. They were held in common back at that time. That's why there wasn't abortion and euthanasia and so on in the vision of our founding fathers. Vatican Council II also reminds us in its decree on the apostolate of the laity that lay people, that's all you folks, you have a special role in the secular, public, social sphere of life to do all that's possible by your votes as citizens and in other ways to bring all of our social life into conformity with the law of God. The decree on the apostle of the laity says that God's people, Catholics, in every situation should strive to infuse the mentality, customs, laws, and structures of their community with a Christian spirit. And we shouldn't be ashamed of that. We shouldn't be kind of timid about that. We openly promote Christian values and Christian moral principles to the extent that we can in the public life of our nation. So at this time of division, where there's a lot of bitterness and anger and confusion, let's pray for a healing of our country. In many ways, there are new hopes, there's new challenges with the very different government coming in, with the new president-elect and the Republican Party coming in. There's new challenges, there's new hopes, there's new possibilities. There's a great deal we don't know yet. But let's simply today recall on this great feast day that Jesus Christ is our King, and let's work to see what we can do to bring our beautiful nation back to those Christian principles that were so close to the hearts of nearly all of the founding fathers, so that this nation, to the extent possible, may reflect God's will and the principles of Jesus and his gospel of peace and harmony throughout this great nation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.